Good morning and welcome to worship here at the table this morning. We are grateful to gather both in person and online. We're going to move together right into worship with song. This is our music team sharing a version of If We Ever Needed the Lord Before. We sure do need God now. I invite you to stand as you're willing and able, and we'll move together in song into worship.
If we ever needed the Lord before,
we sure do need you now.
Yeah.
We sure do need you now.
We sure do need you now. If we ever needed the Lord before,
we sure do need,
sure do need you now.
We need you every day.
Every day.
And every hour. Oh, yes.
The Lord before us.
Sure do need you now.
Sure do need you now.
Sure do need you now.
We sure do need you now. Yeah, if we ever needed the Lord before.
We sure do need you now.
Oh,
we need you every day.
Every day.
Every hour. Oh,
if we ever need it,
we sure do need you now.
Yeah.
Sure do need you now.
Sure do need you now.
Sure.
If we ever needed the Lord before,
we sure do need you now.
We need you every day.
We need you every day.
And every
and
hour.
Every hour. Oh, yes, we do.
We need you when we put up.
Oh,
You're welcome to be seated as you feel led or to just continue to stand. We're going to hear a short poem that comes to us from Seska. And Seska is a seminary student getting ready to start her third year out at Yale Divinity School. So let us be in a spirit of prayer as we continue to move in worship.
Lucille Clifton was one of the 20th century's most prominent Black poets. Her poems are as powerful and intimate as they are brief. She once remarked that writing is a way of continuing to love, and that perhaps for me it is a way of remembering I am not alone. May this poem by Lucille Clifton be a prayer which brings continued hope, and may it help us remember we are not alone. Why Some People Be Mad at Me Sometimes, by Lucille Clifton. They ask me to remember, but they want me to remember their memories. And I keep on remembering mine.
I invite us to stand as you're willing and able as we continue to move together in song.
The devil ride. Oh, don't you let the devil ride. No, if you let the devil ride, he will want to drive.
Don't let him ride.
Don't let him ride. Don't you let him flag you down.
Call your name.
Don't let it.
Beautiful, right? Welcome. My name is Sarneet Prasad, and I'm our Sunday morning coordinator here at the table. We welcome you gathering online at table.life. Our host today is Kara. We have QR code in the sanctuary and the seats and pasted out there. You could use your phone and search. While I was preparing for this welcome and next step, there's a part which I have to read, but I want to share this. One of my phobias is fire. And whenever I think about it, I start shaking. So I try to avoid news whenever there is a fire or I see places engulfed with fire. And Hawaii is a tropical island, very beautiful. And I'm from tropic. And I know Pacific people love nature, and they are very grounded. They believe in the fauna. They believe in the land. We want to invite you this morning to join our community of faith as we reach in love to help with relief for our neighbors in Hawaii, recovering from devastating fires. We encourage you to consider making a gift online. 100% of our gift will go directly to aid those in need through the United Methodist Community on Relief. Our finance team met earlier this week, and our church will make a lead gift of $2,500 to support aid. We invite you to join us as you are able to give generously. And also, keep everybody in your prayers. If you're new, there's a number on the screen. You can text new on that number. That number will go, your text will go to Pastor Matt and Pastor Linda, and you'll get a series of text messages which will allow you to connect with us. And one of the most amazing ways to connect with us is getting into Growing in Faith. Growing in Faith is designed to help newcomers learn more about our table. We are hosting a Growing in Faith retreat next weekend at Davis UMC. Registration is full for this retreat, but we do have opening in our next 6 weeks Growing in Faith series, which will be held on Wednesday evening here at the table, beginning September 27th. Learn more and sign up on our website, thetableumc.org. Also, on Wednesday, most of you might have received an email from the hospitality team. We have opened our online clickboard, and you can register there to volunteer with us. And your volunteer will be greatly appreciated. We invite you to stand in body and spirit and join us in singing Lowly.
Lay down. trying to stop no one. Let some air, won't you now? God's got your blessing.
But you gotta calm down and get at the highest for the lonely.
The highest for the lonely. The
highest for the lonely. God's favor goes to the meek and mild. For them, God made a place. So consider today the best one. For the truth that led your ear. Yeah, and if you wanna be a blessed one, the word has made it clear. You need a just.
Lay down yourself, young one. Lay out some air, I want you now. God's got your blessing.
But you gotta calm down and get at
the highest for the lonely.
No, I don't care what you say,
the highest for the lonely.
And I don't care what you do,
the highest for the lonely.
Too tight to go. Is it ever good for one to gain the world and lose their very soul? You need it just
lay down yourself, young one. Swallow your pride, I want you now. God's got your blessing,
but you gotta calm down and get at
the highest for the lonely.
Come on, Lord.
Come on, Lord. Come on, Lord. Come on, Lord. Come on, Lord. Come on, Lord. Come on, Lord. Come on, Lord. Come on, Lord. Come on, Lord. Come on, Lord. Come on, Lord. Come on, Lord. Come on, Lord. Come on, Lord. Come on, Lord. Come on, Lord. Come on, Lord. Come on, Lord. Come on, Lord. Come on, Lord. Come on, Lord. Come on, Lord. Come on, Lord. Come on, Lord. Come on, Lord. Come on, Lord. Come on, Lord. Come on, Lord. Come on, Lord. Come on, Lord. Come on, Lord. Come on, Lord. Come on, Lord. Come on, Lord. Come on, Lord. Come on, Lord. Come on, Lord. Come on, Lord. Come on, Lord. Come on, Lord. Come on, Lord. Come on, Lord. Come on, Lord. Come on, Lord. Come on, Lord. Come on,
Wow, I'm letting go of it. Wow, that's amazing. Good morning. My name is Bob Martinez. And welcome to the table, whether in person or online. At this time, I want to invite our children to move from the sanctuary to the A-frame with our volunteer leaders for summer children's activities as our amazing musicians give us some walking music. So while we have loving and professional care for our youngest children in the A-frame, throughout worship, summer children's activities will be designed for children in elementary school. We'll offer story and art in the A-frame, and some children may choose to play outside in the play yard. Our reading this morning comes from Luke chapter 23, and I'll be sharing from the New Revised Standard Version, and we invite you to follow along. Two others also who were criminals were led away to be put to death with Jesus. Well, now when they came to the place that is called the skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing. And the people stood by watching. But the leaders scoffed at them, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." Now one of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus replied, "Truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise."
As our musicians move down, I invite us into a spirit of prayer. Loving God, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts, may our time together and our lives be woven in the threads of your grace, that we might find ourselves living more fully in alignment with your healing and liberating love for the world. We offer this time and our lives in your creative ways and many names. Amen. Throughout this worship series this summer, we have been holding our lives in conversations with bold stories which come to us from Scripture, but bold stories of people who are often overlooked in our sacred texts. We've been calling this summer series Portrait Summer, and you can see some of the artwork that our children have created together just down the hallway during worship that helps to shape our life together. We've been uncovering stories about what are often less prominent biblical characters. Pua and the daughters of Zelophehad, the Deborah, Shadrach, folks that we've often like glanced right past. And this week, we turn to an unnamed person who is crucified by Rome next to Jesus. Though not named, he's generally referred to as the penitent thief on the cross. In portraits of the cross, the penitent thief is generally painted on the margins, easily overlooked, even erased. Last week, some of you may have seen the New York Times shared a provocative and stunning video which tells the story of a Baton Rouge-based art collector and his persistent and resilient effort to help uncover the story of an enslaved child who was painted into a 19th century family portrait and then erased from the portrait. I wanted to have us watch the entire 9.5 minute video, and I commend it to you, but I cut it down. So we're gonna watch the first couple minutes, and I wanna just invite you then to move together as we continue to find our way. Let's watch this opening piece of this art collector. Let's watch.
For over 100 years, this family portrait held a secret, a fourth figure that had been painted out. Now, the Metropolitan Museum of Art has just acquired the painting, one of the few 19th century portraits to realistically portray an enslaved person. Its incredible journey to the Met tells a story about the erasure of Black figures throughout American history. And it might have been lost forever, if not for Jeremy K. Simeon.
My ancestors, people of African descent, are a part of this United States. And we have got to be able to see ourselves in a historical context. The paintings that survive are incredibly important because so few remain.
Simeon, an art collector, first stumbled across the painting in an auction record. The painting was unsigned, but Jeremy thought it looked similar to the work of renowned portraitist Jacques Amon. Then he found another auction record from a few years prior. But in that image, the enslaved child had been covered up.
The fact that the boy was covered up, it haunted me. I had to find out where he ended up.
The story begins with a relative of the white children in the painting, Eugene Grasser.
The family story was that there was a favorite slave they had, and he was painted in the picture. And then for whatever reason, sometime later, he was painted out. No idea why.
Eugene's mother, Audrey, inherited the portrait. For decades, she kept it in the garage. But in 1972, she donated the painting to the New Orleans Museum of Art. Eugene's mother told the museum the family story about the fourth figure. But instead of displaying it, the museum placed the painting in museum storage for 32 years.
I think that the story of this picture is really a story of institutional neglect.
Mia L. Banneries is a professor of art history and Africana studies at Tulane University.
This is what the work looked like when NOMA acquired it. And you can clearly see the spectral outline of the figure.
When it came in, it was not in exhibitable condition.
John Bullard started at the museum the year after NOMA acquired the painting.
And you could see the shadow, but still, it's not attributed to a particular artist. And the children were not identified.
The justification that the museum has given is that we didn't know who the artist was, we didn't know who the sitters were. Those things are often unknown for images that feature people of African descent and may never be known. And yet, the objects themselves are still worthy of critical scholarship.
It's a stunning uncovering, and I commend the whole video to you. You can see right here two of the images just at different times as these art historians and artists and collectors have gone back and remade in the way now we can see Belisaire there, and you see him. This is a naturalist, they say, painting. He's leaning against a tree. He remains separated, as you can see, from the white children. But art critics note that he's painted with a powerful stance, with blushing cheeks. One critic describes him as being painted with, quote, a kind of interiority that is unusual for the time. And something like how Jeremy Simeon and others, the team, some of whom we were just introduced to, are uncovering the story of Bélisaire, we are hoping that this worship series invites us and empowers us and maybe gives us some of the skills to look at how our biblical Christian tradition has done similar things over times to characters, to people, literally overlooked them or erased them. And this morning we turn in our tradition to the one known as the penitent thief on the cross. His name wiped from the canvas, hoping to wonder together about how centering his story might invite us to see a new meaning in the cross for our own day. The reading that Bob shared from Luke 23, it's obvious that this is no family portrait. This is the crucifixion. It's perhaps one of the most painted images of all time. And while today we often sanitize crucifixion, turning the cross into jewelry, in the first century, crucifixion was the farthest thing from a necklace. Crucifixion was Rome's method for execution. It was a public show that was used to shame and to subordinate, to publicly remind everyone that this was Rome's power, and everyone else would be subordinate to that. Over Jesus' head, Rome announces with mocking irony, "This is the King of the Jews," as he's dying there. Roman soldiers mock Jesus. Jerusalem leaders ridicule Jesus. This is clearly no king in any kind of traditional sense. Reverend Dr. Gilberto Ruiz outlines 5 ways that onlookers responded, or ways that they were postured in the text. And I just want to invite us into those. We have the crowds watching. Maybe they're in a neutral stance. We have leaders scoffing, soldiers mocking. Rome announced its public position with an inscription, and the criminals disagreed over his identity. You can see right there before us that it's actually the disagreement in the criminals that takes up the most space in the biblical narrative, more than anywhere else. And that's where I want to try to invite us to turn our attention this morning, to these 2 criminals who disagree, one on each side of Jesus. In Matthew and also in Mark's portrait of the crucifixion, both of the criminals revile Jesus. But Luke's portrait is different. In Luke's gospel, one criminal does ridicule Jesus. Taunts, "If you're a king, save us. Save yourself and us." And Jesus says nothing in response in Luke's gospel. But the second criminal breaks with the first, breaks with the crowds, breaks with the religious leaders, breaks with Rome, and says, "This man has done nothing wrong." And then continues by seeing Jesus as this upside-down king that he truly is. The penitent thief sees Jesus and asks, pleads, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus replies, "Today you will be with me in paradise." The portrait of crucifixion in Luke's gospel centers Jesus's innocence in unique ways. Rome condemns and publicly shames, lynching, you could say, an innocent man, while crowds mock and taunt. And how might such a portrayal of unlawful condemnation speak to us in this day? Speak to us about the prison industrial complex that we are all complicit in. If it's a penitent thief who truly sees Jesus for the upside-down king that he is, how might we then be called into deeper and more humane relationships with those incarcerated in our own day? And perhaps that's a message for another day, but one that I suggest we ought not ever overlook. And we're left with this image of Jesus' final hour with these two criminals in Luke's gospel taking very different stances. They represent two groups of people. Those who join the empire's testimony, the empire's song against Jesus, and those who identify with the persecuted, the marginalized, the oppressed, for those we see in this text who suffer most, see with greatest clarity. Jesus identifies with those marginalized by empire. To those crushed by the boot of empire, Jesus says then and today, today you'll be with me in paradise. Or the high is for the lowly, as we just sang. Dr. James Cone writes about it like this. There he is. Dr. Cone says, one has to be a little mad, kind of crazy, to find salvation in the cross. Victory in defeat and life in death. This is why the meaning of the cross is intensely debated today, especially by secular and religious intellectuals who reject the absurd idea that a shameful, despicable death could reveal anything. I wonder what the portrait might reveal for you today. I wonder where in our lives we might be like the criminal who mocks Jesus. And where in our lives we might be like the penitent thief who truly sees Jesus. I'm going to start by sharing some of the ways I find myself in both places. My hope is that you'll join with me in that wondering and what it looks like in your own life. I was thinking yesterday that I mock Jesus like the criminal at his side. Every time I look away from the poor in our midst who make their homes in tents beneath overpasses or on the side of the street. And I saw Jesus with eyes like the penitent thief at his side when I was in line just 2 weeks ago at the South Sacramento Interfaith Partnership's food closet, handing out Rise Up bread and vegetables grown by some of our teenagers at Table Farm. And then I was thinking about my time at the farm. I was remembering the ways that I mock Jesus like the criminal at his side whenever I unconsciously erase and forget and look away from the indigenous peoples who first watched over this land. And I get an opportunity to see Jesus whenever I'm in a circle out at Table Farm and we pause and take a moment to just recognize where our feet touch the earth and to remember the Nisenan people who've journeyed for generations and centuries over that same earth, who live now in resilient ways to try to keep on keeping on. I mock Jesus like that criminal at his side every time that I choose personal comfort at the expense of our earth's vulnerability. And I have an opportunity to remember and to see Jesus like that penitent thief whenever I remember, as we sang, that the high is for the lowly. I mock Jesus, and this one's daily for me, like the criminal at his side, every time I slip into my own sense of self-righteousness and judgment, I let the devil drive. I see Jesus with penitent thief's eyes when I manage and find those moments where I recognize that I'm falling into that, and then I move into a place of curiosity, even if just for a moment. I mock Jesus like that criminal at his side whenever I take myself so seriously and I think it's all up to me. And I see Jesus like that penitent thief at his side. And those moments where I remember that my life is bound and tied up with yours, with so many others, each person, each part of God's creation, a gift. And I wonder where you might be mocking Jesus right now. Where you might see with the eyes of that penitent thief, eyes of love. Our musicians are going to help us to dwell in those questions. And I encourage you, if you feel led, to just stay right where you are and to hold this in your own life. Where are you mocking Jesus like that criminal? Where are you seeing with the eyes of that penitent thief? We're going to use the penitent thief's own words as our prayer and allow that to just soak into this space. There are places to pray all around the sanctuary. If you feel moved or led, you're welcome to light candles there. Invite us as our musicians lead us to be in a spirit of prayer, reflecting on the places in our own lives where we might see with eyes of love like that penitent thief, Jesus in our midst. Let us be in a spirit of prayer.
Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.
When you come into your kingdom.
Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Oh, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.
Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.
The Christ remembers all at God's table of love, and it is we humans who so often are the faltering ones, stumbling over one another, arguing, forgetting the depths of God's love, the depths that God goes to be with us and to love us. And so, as we prepare to come to God's table yet again, we pause this day, like every Sunday, to acknowledge the ways we miss the Spirit of God, the love of God, the ways of God, and the ways we try to prevent God's disruptive ways and keep it at bay so that we can stay undisrupted. The church calls this a prayer of confession, and I invite you to stand in body or spirit as you are willing. And we are going to join our voices together in this prayer. Let us pray.
Crucified God, we join the chorus of empire whenever we fail to see how your shameful, despicable death could reveal anything. We mock and revile you. Forgive us, we pray. And remember us when you come into your kingdom.
God hears all of our prayers, and friends, God meets us in our prayers and in our longing, and God suffers alongside all whom are hurting. God looks with eyes of love upon each and every one of us. While empire intended the cross to shame Jesus, our subversive God brings life in death. Life right in there, into death, and reminds us always, today you will be with me in paradise. So may the love of God be enough
May the love of God be enough this day and all the days of our lives. Let's say amen.
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 And I invite us to join together in the call and response, the church's practice for seeing with eyes of love, recognizing the presence of Christ with each and every neighbor around us. Friends, may the peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Gracious God, we give you praise and thanks for this holy communion, the body of Christ. Of your beloved Son,
into prayer together with this ancient of prayers which Jesus prayed long ago, and it has been passed to us through the generations, and it has been changed and modified, and the church named it the Lord's Prayer. And this is a version that comes to us from the New Zealand prayer book, a paraphrase. Let us pray. Eternal Spirit, earth maker, pain bearer, life giver, source of all that is and that shall be, Father and Mother of us all, loving God in whom is heaven, the hallowing of your name echoes through the universe, the way of your justice be followed by the peoples of the earth, your heavenly will be done by all created beings, your commonwealth of peace and freedom sustain our hope and come on earth. With the bread we need for today, feed us. In the hurts we absorb from one another, forgive us. In times of temptation and test, spare us. From the grip of all that is evil, free us. For you reign in the glory of the power that is love, now and forever. Amen.
Pour your Spirit, God, upon each of us gathered here and over these gifts before us. Make these gifts your body and your love, and make us, through them, Christ's hope alive in the world. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. All are welcome to the table of God's love, and when we say all, we mean everyone.
For those of us who are gathered online, we invite you to bring close to you your bread or your crackers or whatever it is that you are using this morning and your juice. Here in this sanctuary, we will share this meal by coming forward or going to the rear of the sanctuary. There is bread that was baked for us on the platter, plus there are crackers that don't have gluten in them for those of us for whom that is a preference. And in our cup is always grape juice. We we were in a time of prayer, and so you know already that there are places to pray all around you, either kneeling or standing or simply staying where you are in your pew. We know that every week there are those among us for whom this is a life practice and those among us who have never done anything like this before. Most of us are somewhere in between there, finding our way. And so we encourage you to just breathe and to remember you can't mess this up. You can't make a mistake. We are in God's divine dance of grace together.
Friends, this is the bread of life and the body of Christ, broken for you all, and the cup of God's healing and forgiveness poured out for all. Encourage those praying with candles to stay for as long as you desire in that spirit of prayer. Let Loving God, we give thanks for this holy mystery through which you are revealed to all of creation. May your peace make us one. May your love call us into the world with eyes of love that we might join your healing and hope. We offer this and our lives in your creative ways and many names. Amen. We hope here at the table you will wonder about the next steps which God might have in store for you. As Sarnit shared, we have as a community made a commitment to give $2,500 to help with the immediate aid for folks in Hawaii who are finding their way through the devastating fires there. You could join with us. That could be a response that you make. There are ways to give to support our ministries here at the table. We also have Rise Up Bread outside for those that have already pre-ordered. You can pick that up. You can also find ways to order for September, and there are so many new flavors that are on there that I encourage you to try those out and to see what is there. Andy and our team also have flowers that have been grown down at the farm and also produce outside as well, and Growing in Faith dates are on our website. We're going to go out this morning in song. I invite you to stand in body or in spirit and to join our musicians. This is a version of This Little Light of Mine.
Amen. 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 Sing it over. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine.
Let it shine.
This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine.
Let it shine.
This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine.
Let it shine. Show my love.
I gotta tell you this.
Everywhere I go, I'm gonna let it shine.
I'm gonna let it shine.
Everywhere I go, I'm gonna let it shine.
Everywhere.
Everywhere
I go,
I'm gonna let it shine.
I'm gonna
let
So friends, may you go letting the light of God shine within you, that we might see with God's eyes of love the presence of God in each and every neighbor around. Go in peace. Amen.
Let it shine, let it shine,
to show my love.
Last time, yeah.